Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Big news of the day, Colin Kaepernick is going to hold a workout for NFL teams on Saturday. Rob G, can you give us the details?
That's right. NFL clubs were informed earlier on Tuesday that a private workout will be held for Colin Kaepernick in Atlanta. The session will include on-field work and interviews. All teams are invited to attend, and video of both the workout and any interviews will be made available to them. No media access, however. Now, again, Colin Kaepernick and his reps have been saying for a very long time that he's ready to play football, and this is his first big step forward in that regard to get back to the NFL.
Yeah, quick take by me. While I would love to see Colin Kaepernick in the NFL, I don't feel like this is going to change anything. I don't think this is huge news because the reason Colin Kaepernick is in the league has nothing to do with his ability or lack thereof. NFL teams are not sitting there that need a quarterback wondering if Colin Kaepernick's good enough to be in the league. They've signed Matt Moore, who was out of the league and coaching high school football, the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh McCown, signed by the Philadelphia Eagles, he had retired. I know Colin Kaepernick at 32 years of age was better than those guys, and every NFL executive knows it too. Now, the one thing that could help him, there's going to be an interview too. You better believe one of the questions is going to be what? Will you stand for the national anthem? Now, I think if he doesn't stand, it's hypocritical of NFL owners and teams to keep him out of the league because you got players, Eric Reed, Kenny Stills, who aren't standing. Michael Bennett was in the league not standing. So that should not keep him out of the league. However, I don't know what they see him as the leader of it, the guy that started it. Some of these guys would not sign him if he doesn't stand for the national anthem. If he says he'll stand, then maybe he will get another shot, Rob. But right now I'm not that optimistic because I don't think people have wondered if he's got the ability. I think they just didn't want to sign him.
Me and you are going to split here. I think this is significant. Not only that, Chris, I believe this is a doorway for him to enter back into the NFL. And here's the difference between all the other stuff and this. This is the first time that this is an NFL-sanctioned event, where they are the ones who issued this letter out to the league. And see, before, I believe that teams were skeptical and didn't want to do it because they felt it was going against the league and didn't want to take part in anything that had Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
They've given they've signed off on this because this is NFL scouts. This is run by the NFL, this thing. A letter went out on league letterhead saying that everybody's invited to come, whether they want to or not. This, to me, opens the door where the NFL has said, we sanction that this guy can get a tryout. Before, it wasn't that, and I think that's where, whether the NFL said it or not, teams felt like the league's not behind this. We know what's going on. We've heard from all these other people. Time has passed now, and now the league, right, is saying, take a look at this guy. We're going to set it up, and it's going to be under our rules and our scouts. I believe Colin Kaepernick will be back in the National Football League. I'm not saying he's going to be a starting quarterback, a star making millions of dollars. I believe there will be a job. I believe that this is a softening by the NFL, which opens the door because there's always been renegade owners who are looking to do things different from the league. And I'm telling you, this could be a big one for some owner who decides to dip into this pool. I believe he'll be back in the league.
Well, I think what you're saying, and it's a good point. I think you're saying The NFL has removed the scarlet letter from him, so to speak.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I hope you're right.
I really believe that,
he
Chris.
He deserves to be in the league. I actually do think he can start. I mean, who knows how much rust has accumulated over 3 years, but I do think he's better than a lot of these quarterbacks we see playing on Sundays. And his game, just since he's retired – the game has moved a little closer to his skill set.
Which is what he used to do.
Right.
And he was a damn good at it in the beginning of his career.
So,
and he's not old. 32 is not old.
You see my point, too,
yes.
though. It's not that. I think you made a great point with the league being behind this. Those owners that kind of felt like, look, I believe with all my heart that I don't believe the owners talked to each other and said, look, let's not sign him.
Right, but
there was an unwritten or unspoken feeling among the owners. Like,
pushback.
Right,
and
especially
you just knew
when
it.
Trump gets involved.
Right, this is what I'm saying. And now when the league says, no, we're setting this up. And if you're a football team and organization, you'd be making a big mistake not to at least take a look and send a scout. That would be, ridiculous. You could have an injury or somebody go down next week. We've seen all the quarterbacks go down this year.
Right.
So why wouldn't you take a look? It doesn't cost you anything to take a look. You might go, this is what we're doing in Baltimore. This is what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Like, here's another interesting point, Rob. Like I said, one of the questions in the interview is going to be, will you stand for the national anthem? Will you have any problem with Colin Kaepernick if he says, I'll stand?
No, I'm not going to have a problem at this point. He made his point, and he was courageous. I respect that. And at this point, if he wants to get back into football and continue to do the things that he was doing to bring attention to this awful epidemic that was going on, and for the people say that he didn't solve anything, they couldn't be more wrong, Chris. And I'm going to say
he started a discussion, and also a lot of work did get done.
Chris, didn't it stop? Do you remember how bad? I'm not saying completely no, but I'm saying at that point, when he really, it was like an epidemic in this country. It was like, it seemed like almost every other week.
I would have to see numbers on that to know if it's lessened.
The high profile of what we were seeing.
No, he brought attention to it. Right. No doubt that he brought attention to it.
I can't remember the last time I saw it.
And beyond that, they set up, even though he's kind of against this group, the Players Coalition that took the $90 million from the league, they have done some really good things. They've changed laws in Florida and other places. So a lot has been accomplished, you know, through what Colin Kaepernick did. I'm with you. If he stands for the national anthem, I would not have a problem with it. I think he could get a lot done. I would be bothered if when he is, say, gets back in the league and he's asked about some of these things, I would be bothered if he mutes himself.
No, I don't believe
he'll
do that.
You know, make comments or refuse to speak about it. But if he goes to a team, stands for the anthem, but when the opportunity comes or when he's asked about it, continues to speak out against the police brutality and the injustice, then I'm all with him. And I would hope, particularly African Americans, that if he stands, they don't go against him or turn against him and think he's sold out, because he's not selling out by standing for the national anthem.
I just think I think there's a real chance. That's my gut. The original was that somebody is going to give him an opportunity, and now that the NFL has green-lighted it, whether or not they said, you know, sign him, by having an official event with the NFL involved, Chris, this is that doubt trip one owner might have had, like, you know, the league doesn't might want him around. Can't say that now.
He's definitely good enough. And again, obviously, I haven't seen him play in 3 years. There's no doubt in my mind he's good enough to be playing in the NFL. And if I'm a team like the Bears,
dude,
where I've got a defense.
And you got a defense, you can't waste it.
I'm looking at this dude.
You can't waste it, because your window will open and close before you know it. And then what? You wasted a great defense.
No doubt about it.
You
no
can
doubt
win
about
with
it.
An average quarterback when you have a defense. They don't even have an average quarterback.
All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Is this the first step towards Colin Kaepernick getting back in the NFL? Also, how will you feel if he stands for the national anthem? We will continue the conversation with you next. It's the iCouple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio. All right, hiring the right person takes time. Rob, you know that. You've got many businesses. You're an entrepreneur. And a lot of time, you just don't have the time to go out and hire the right people. Urgency can be your enemy when it comes to finding candidates that are truly meant for your business. That's why I think LinkedIn is the best place to post your job.
Hey, Chris, best of all, LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the skills you're looking for so that you could hire the right person and do it quickly.
Right. Right.
And LinkedIn looks beyond the obvious work skills to make sure that your job post is seen by people you want to hire. And you know, Chris, LinkedIn is the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. So it's no wonder a person is hired every 8 seconds by LinkedIn.
Every 8 seconds. That's amazing. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/oddcouple. Again, LinkedIn.com/oddcouple to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions do apply.
Hey, Chris.
Yep.
Go get LinkedIn.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right. The big story, though, Rob, that we want to talk about now is in your wheelhouse. There's some cheating going on the diamond.
And I ain't happy about it, Chris Broussard. I'm going to tell you.
Isn't cheating a part of baseball, though?
Not this cheating.
Vaseline on the bill
cheating.
Of the cap.
And this is one.
The emery board in the back pocket.
I've seen it all. And trust me, the pine tar
the
too high.
Stealing,
the
right.
Pine tar too high.
Right.
And yes, do people try to steal the signs a little bit, Chris? Look back, see if I can see the catcher, what he's putting down. You know it's hard to hit a baseball when you don't know what's coming. I'm not saying that automatically. It gives you an advantage if you know what's coming. If it's a curveball, a slider, or it's a fastball, it does help you.
No doubt.
So people can't say that. And here's my thing. It's official. The Houston Astros are the New England Patriots of Major League Baseball. There's no other way around it. This is not hearsay. You got former players, Chris, who played on the team, who told you exactly what was being done. They're telling you there was a camera in center field getting the signs. They cheated. That 2017 World Series, which felt so good the first time the Astros had ever won a championship. Does it feel good today? No, it doesn't. Cheating doesn't feel good. And don't tell me, oh, they cheat in baseball. They're always looking for the sign. Not like this. Not using electronics.
Well, we're not sure.
Well, I'm talking about.
The story in The Athletic said that they do think it's more than one team, that it's somewhat rampant. The reason the Astros. Now, the Astros do have a bad reputation.
They do.
Teams think they cheat. The Boston got caught in 2017.
Remember that? But this is the thing, Chris.
They won it last year.
What don't you normally see where players come out and
well,
put their.
Well, one, you got Mike Fears, the former Astros, saying it was done. That's why they're the highlight of the story.
Right. Because.
But other teams are suspected as well.
Okay. But my point is.
I think it's just rampant in baseball.
I'm not so sure about rampant. I'm not saying that they're the only ones who did it, but they got caught. It's like the New England Patriots. Everybody records the defensive signals of other teams. Nobody got caught. Nobody had to pay a $500,000 fine. Nobody lost draft picks. You know who did? The New England Patriots. The Astros are no better than them. That championship, it's marred. You smell like Chris? That's that championship. It's stinky now. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't feel good. There's no place for cheating. Major League Baseball has to look into this. They're only going to lose draft picks, Chris.
Right.
They're not going to take the
championship,
right? And a big fine. They won't take the championship away.
Do you think they should?
It would be unprecedented. You would have to go through all kinds of stuff. So, no, this is not like college basketball or college football where they vacate and make you take down the – I don't believe they'll ever do it because of the other ramifications with it.
Yeah,
does that mean that I get my money back if I pay –
champion.
Right.
Reggie Bush, we still think of him as a Heisman Trophy winner.
Regardless.
Yeah, so, none of that matters.
But you see my point with them, if this is team set up with electronically.
Right. Look, cheating, as you said – and this goes for every sport. If you're doing it with the human eye and you have no advantage over the other team, everybody's trying to get an advantage, right? Trying to get an edge. That's, I mean, technically, I guess you can try to say it's cheating. It's like if I'm playing you in basketball and I'm holding on to your jersey while you're trying to run over a pick. I mean, we're just trying to get an advantage. Yeah, it's cheating, but everybody does that.
But it's not a
when you bring technology into it, then it's a whole nother game. That's almost like the equivalent of that same instance in basketball. I'm governing you, holding your jersey, and somebody up in the stands is shooting like a light
in your eyes so you can't see.
Right.
Right. Now,
that's
if somebody did that, you would be like, dude, you can't do that.
Right, right.
And that's what we're talking about, the Astros. And that camera that was set up, that's organizational. Do you think that somebody could just put a camera up without the organization knowing?
That's what makes me laugh about the Astros saying we're about to do an investigation.
What investigation?
You put it together.
How in the world?
Did a player go up there
and set up a camera? And then, Chris, you can listen to video. They found a video where they banged the garbage can loud twice.
Or they whistle.
So that you know what pitch is coming?
You know it's an off-speed pitch coming, apparently, when they bang the trash can.
You can hear it. I saw the video.
The Yankees complained in the championship series this year.
They complained
about hearing whistling.
And they're like, what is that?
Yep.
So I'm down on the Astros on this. This is as bad as it gets. I don't know if this is the Chicago Black Sox with the gambling scandal.
Well, I don't think it's that bad.
But we don't know how big it is. And if there's an investigation, Chris, and they find out, what if other players own up or fess up and say, this has been going on, and it's been going on for 4 years, or this has been going on, and we did it. You know what I mean? You don't know in an investigation where you get people in a room and you start asking questions. There's some very moral people who, if you don't ask me, Chris, I might not say anything.
Right.
But once I sit down and I'm meeting with investigators, I might sing.
I mean, look, I believe that they were cheating. I really do.
Does that take away from their championship for you or not?
That's a really tough question. Yes, but what are you going to do? I'm not going to Jonas Knox, who's on the show before us. He came up with a great line.
And I'm stealing it. Jonas Knox, the Houston
Astros.
That's what they are now. We're going to call them the Houston Astros.
That's a great line.
Right.
I don't know, man. I mean, I just don't know what you can do. But it does give you an advantage in a series that was so close, 7 games.
I get it, but... I got a better one for you, Chris. How about the players, Altuve and all these people that everybody's ranting and raving about their team? Do I feel the same way about them now? How much help were they getting?
Here's what I'd say, and you say this, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong. When you talk about the steroid era that we call in baseball, you say... You would vote for guys, Barry Bonds, who, again, was never caught.
He never tested positive, right.
But you would vote for the guys that we know did steroids to be in the Hall of Fame, those that deserve it, because a lot of people were doing it that didn't get caught. Pitchers were doing it. Hitters were doing it.
We know it, right.
So I'm not avoiding your question, but I would want to know
How rampant it is. I want a thorough investigation.
No, I got it. Yeah. And if 70% of the league is doing it, I feel differently than if the Astros are the only team
doing
it. You know what I mean?
Because the Astros, the Red Sox got caught with that.
Yeah.
And then
the Red Sox win the World Series the next year.
Right. And then the Blue Jays were – there was also talk of the Blue Jays at one point 2 years ago. I remember that. But I get you. I get it, if it's rampant or not. But if you find out that the Astros have had this elaborate thing
changes.
And this has been going on, it changes the way you look at them. They don't have to give the trophy back and all that. But I'll look at them and go, I'm not.
Their story
doesn't feel as good to me.
No, it certainly doesn't feel as good. But I'll say this, too. If it's proven that they didn't cheat this year, and we had a caller say this once before. One way that you overcome the stigma that you cheated before is by winning when you don't cheat. So New England, we assume, has not been cheating,
well,
and they've won.
But you got to be careful. I know what you're saying.
We can only call them cheaters if we know they cheated.
I understand that.
So they haven't been cheating, we presume, the last several years.
You mean
and
not,
obviously
not
they
since,
keep winning.
Not since...
Since Deflategate.
Deflategate.
And they keep winning. And even in that, you know, that game, right?
Right.
When they the second half, they rolled over Indianapolis. But with the Astros, if they didn't cheat at all this year, that makes you feel a little differently about the players and mentioned.
And then
because they still play well.
And what happened? What they struggled hitting. You remember that this year?
They struggled hitting at home.
Yes, it was a big
struggle. But supposedly
struggle.
They only cheated at home.
Right. No, but I'm
and they lost all the games at home and they hit well on the road.
But maybe they weren't. I'm saying if they weren't getting the signals this year at home like they did in 2017,
right.
Maybe that's the reason that they weren't as.
But they hit better on the road, too, with no signs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Or no cheating.
But not as great as they had been in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Remember, they won 60 games at home this year.
Right,
that's a great record, 60 home wins.
No question. All right, are the Astros the Patriots of baseball? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Has their 2017 World Series title been tainted? We'll continue the conversation with you next. iCouple Fox Sports Radio.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And GEICO offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? GEICO's got you covered. An RV? Covered. A boat? Covered. And there's so much more GEICO could help you with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save. That's GEICO.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Which way is easier? We are bringing in a former LSU running back. National champion as well. Played 4 years in the NFL, five, I believe, mostly with the Chargers. Sirius XM college football analyst. And my homeboy, y'all know I was born in Louisiana.
Oh, stop
just
it.
Like
just
him.
Stop it.
I'm from Baton Rouge. He's
no,
from
you're
Shreveport.
Not. You're from Iowa.
My man, Jacob Hester. What's up, brother? Welcome to the iCouple.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. With a last name like Broussard, I know you're from Louisiana.
Thank you. See, Rob Parker?
Well, he claims every state.
Broussards
Jacob,
are numerous in Louisiana.
Every
you know that.
State. He's like, whoever wins, he's like,
no,
I had a cup of coffee in a sweet roll
in
Iowa.
I
was here. I was there. I was in Cincinnati. I was in Cleveland. All right.
But, Jacob, you won, like I said, you won the national championship with LSU. And let me ask you this. Are you surprised? Like, when Ed Orgeron was given the job, there were a lot of doubters. There were a lot of people just thought, oh, the players like him. He's, you know, he's just a likable guy. He's got the accent, the way he talks and all that stuff. But a lot of people didn't think he really was the man for the job. How did you feel at that time? And what do you think it is about him that's gotten them to this level they haven't been at in a few years?
Yeah, look, I was in Coach O's camp. When he was an interim coach, you saw some things that he was doing on an interim basis that are very difficult to do. I mean, he changed the offense. He fired the offensive coordinator. He elevated Steve Ensminger at that time to be the coordinator. They were setting records, and they were having good moments. And also, I took a look at that stint he had as the interim coach at USC. I thought he did a lot of nice things, had some big wins when he was the interim coach at USC. You could tell that it was different than his time he spent at Ole Miss. And so I think all those things led me to wanting him to get the full-time job at LSU, and I was really vocal about it. And I thought he was going to do a nice job because of what the job means to him. I mean, you hear him talk about Louisiana, you hear him talk about LSU, and you can feel that passion when you're next to him and you hear him say those things. It's not just lip service. And so for a number of reasons, I felt like he was the right guy. You knew he was going to recruit his butt off. I mean, that is his MO. He's going to get the recruits in, and he's done a really nice job of getting his coordinators in, D.C., Dave Aranda, Steve Ensminger as the OC, Joe Brady as a passing game coordinator. He's really had this approach that I'm going to run this program. I'm going to be the CEO, but I'm going to leave a lot of the coaching to my coordinators, and it's worked out really well for LSU.
Before the big game, Chris and I talked, and we both picked LSU, and I thought it would just be good for college football. You know, I know people love dynasties, and they love to see a lot of the same teams win all the time, and Alabama's done enough winning for everybody. But is it good for college football, say, if Alabama doesn't wind up being in the Final Four teams?
Look, I think a lot of people, fair or unfair, have a little bit of the Alabama-Clemson fatigue just because
yes.
it's been those teams in the playoff. And last week, leading up to the LSU-Alabama game, I did interviews in Columbus, Ohio, different parts of Florida, did some for Arizona, did one in San Diego, and everybody kind of said the same thing. Hey, go out there and win because we're rooting for a mix-up. We're rooting for something to change
yep.
in college football just to see something different. And, you know, for LSU, much less the rest of the country, Alabama was a hurdle they couldn't get over. It's been since 2011 in the regular season since LSU had beaten them. Not a lot of teams have a Alabama win on their resume in the last 12 years. And so I think across the country you saw a lot of people rooting for LSU just because it's been the same two teams in the college football playoff. If for some reason Alabama, you know, doesn't end up getting in the college football playoff, and right now they're sitting on the outside looking in, it will be the first college football playoff we've had without Alabama involved. And, look, I think that says something to some of the Alabama fatigue.
Former LSU running back Jacob Hester joining the Odd Couple. All that said, Jacob, I still do think Alabama didn't deserve to be number five. I thought they deserved to be number four. Georgia lost to South Carolina, which is like a 500 team, and Alabama, of course, lost to LSU, the number one team in the country. Did you think it was warranted that they fell all the way to five, or are you with me that they probably should be number four?
When you look at it, it depends on what you look for. Do you look for the best loss or the best win? And right now, Alabama, I think, is on that five line, Chris, because they don't have that win against a ranked opponent to throw out there. They obviously had the best loss to the number one team in the country, like you mentioned. And if you're Georgia, obviously you have wins over Florida and Notre Dame. And I think the committee let that play, you know, stronger than a loss to LSU, even though their loss is to South Carolina, who just got beat by App State at home. And so I guess it just depends on what you look at. For me, I'm all about give me your resume. I want to know exactly who you've beaten, when you've played them, and all those things. So Alabama still has an opportunity to get back in this college football playoff talk. They have a game against Auburn. And it's so funny, when you look at Auburn, you have so many teams in this college football playoff that game against those Tigers is going to mean something. LSU's played them. Georgia's going to play them. Oregon's played them. Alabama's going to play them. I mean, really, Auburn is going to dictate maybe who gets in that four line in the college football final.
Jacob, is there any way that LSU won't be in the Final Four? What's the scenario or the breakdown as we come to the end of the college football season? What do they have to do to secure that they'll be in that Final Four?
If they win the remaining three games in the regular season, they've got at Ole Miss, Arkansas at home, and Texas A&M at home. And I think this Ole Miss game on the road, obviously, is a game that you want to make sure you're prepared for after a big win.
Yep, we could have a letdown, right?
Yeah, look, I've been a part of those. In 2007, when we won the national championship, we had this epic game against Florida at home. We went on the road to Kentucky and got beat in triple overtime. Now, that Kentucky team was ranked 17th in the country. They were a better team than this Ole Miss football team is. But Ole Miss has had a couple of really nice showings. I thought they played Auburn really well. They had Texas A&M on the ropes and fumbled late. So this one is a big one because your other two are at home, Arkansas and Texas A&M. And no disrespect to Arkansas, but I think you, Chris, myself could put a team together of three-man football and give Arkansas a hell of a fight right now. They are god-awful.
Yeah, that's
and
a bad football team.
It's a really bad football team. They don't have a coach, the whole deal, right? And so this one's going to be key. It's on the road for LSU. But if they take care of that, they take care of those three football games, you get into the SEC championship game and you lose a close one, is that still going to be enough for LSU to get in? Because obviously it depends on what other teams do. But LSU's resume with wins against Auburn, Florida, Alabama, and Texas, that looks mighty strong going against anybody in the country.
That's hard to deny there. Yeah,
no question.
Strong.
Jacob, I'm surprised Oklahoma is number 10. I mean, they had a loss to Kansas State. K-State's now in the top 25, and I would think the committee would be looking at Oklahoma, putting them in a position where if other teams ahead of them lose, you can get this blue blood in the playoff. But now at number 10, I mean, it's almost a done deal that they won't get in. What are your thoughts on that?
I was a little surprised how the Big 12 got treated as a whole. You mentioned it. Oregon kind of – or Oklahoma, I'm sorry, fell back, and almost like Clemson did when they had the close call against North Carolina, and North Carolina's going for two to take the lead in that game. Well, Oklahoma kind of felt some of that and their win against Iowa State, they actually fall a spot. And then you look at the Baylor Bears, they win a game, they're undefeated, and they actually fall a spot in the rankings. And so the Big 12 right now not getting a lot of love. Now, if Baylor goes and beats Oklahoma, how much did they rise up? Do they have this rise like Minnesota had after beating Penn State? It doesn't feel that way. And so I don't know what Oklahoma can do. You know, who are they going to play in the Big 12 championship game? Is beating Baylor twice going to be enough to get them back into the conversation? Because right now it feels like the committee loves the Pac-12 when you put the Pac-12 and the Big 12 up against each other. We know the SEC is going to have teams there in the end. The ACC is really a one-trick pony right now with Clemson. So it seems like the Pac-12 has that edge over the Big 12 in the committee's eyes.
We got about 30 seconds left. You mentioned Minnesota. Are they for real? I mean, do you give them a chance against Ohio State, assuming they meet in the Big Ten championship?
I think they're for real, but I don't know if I give them a chance against Ohio State. I don't know if they have the Jimmys and Joes on the edge, team speed, to hang with Ohio State, but they deserve credit. They are a real football team, and they are rowing that boat and then some in Minnesota.
All right, Jacob has a great
good
job,
stuff, man.
We
appreciate it.
You making Louisiana proud.
My man, Mr. Broussard, my Louisiana homeboy.
That's right.
There,
that's right. All right, brother. Keep up the great
all
work.
All they care about is the poor boys. They don't care about nothing else.
Gumbo, poor boys, all that. All right. Later. More of the Odd Couple coming up. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.